Hello and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Tonight, the Federation of Community Councils holds its first meeting since the summer break, and so to acknowledge that event, we'll be talking about Anchorage's community councils and their role in city government. First, let's meet our guests. Shelley Dodson is the Tudor Area Community Council president, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
And Jason Bergerson is the chair of the Federation of Community Councils. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Ellen.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us because now we're gearing up for fall and meetings and you know, getting things settled and kids are back to school and, you know, that long, gorgeous summer break is over, but it's time to knuckle down and get busy, huh?
Absolutely.
So first of all, I would like to know, who'd like to jump up and answer this question? What exactly are community councils for those of us who have never heard of them? Who would like to answer that? Jason?
Community councils are an entity or an organization that was actually created as a function of the Anchorage Charter. They were created as a way to maximize public involvement and self-determination in local government. They are completely volunteer organizations. They are not funded by any part of the city's budget. They are apolitical and just community activists trying to better understand and participate in government.
And are there restrictions, age restrictions, address or location restrictions? I understand there's about, 35, 40 of them.
There are 39 community councils.
39. Okay.
The entire Anchorage Bowl is apportioned into traditional or historic communities, all the way from the west side with Turnagain and Spinard to northeast and a cluster of seven councils up in Chugiak Eagle River. All the way down to Portage.
They have their own community council. I did not know that.
Basher and everything in between. There are no limitations for participating in the councils. Most are, they have no membership dues or anything. They subsist on what they can get from volunteers, both time and donations. No age limits, anything like that. Community councils are bounded by the boundaries that were dictated by the Assembly. Most recently, I think 2002, there was an additional community council added, the Midtown Council. But otherwise, the boundaries have been fixed for some time.
Really? Now, I understand they got their start about sometime during the 70s. You were mentioning the Anchorage Charter. What year was that? 76?
Around 76.
That's when I first came up here, so, yeah. So, Shelley, tell me about you are president of your Tudor Area Community Council. What's a typical meeting? What is a typical agenda?
It really does depend on what people's concerns are. We're fortunate in respect that we're a smaller council area, so we're really able to knuckle down and address issues on a much smaller scale. I want to back up just a second. Mm-hmm. You asked who can belong to the council.
Yeah.
It's not only based on where you live. It could be where you work. If you have a concern about the neighborhood that you work in, your voice is always welcome to be heard at that community council. If you happen to live in one area but perhaps worship somewhere else, again, your voice is welcome to be heard.
Oh, that's an interesting point. I didn't know that.
Right. So, you know, our council area is very neighborhood-oriented, but there's several small businesses over in that area, and we do receive feedback and commentary from them. Sometimes the issues differ, but again, it's always welcome to hear the voices and concerns.
So this is sort of a citizens' grassroots organization, various organizations that allow people to get together and voice their concerns about their immediate neighborhood.
Well, it's actually a very critical part of local government, although it's probably one of the least known. Community councils are the sounding board or the communication opportunity for planning and zoning cases, for road projects, other capital improvement projects that are going on a bond package, both at the city or the school district. Liquor licenses and liquor license renewals go before the community councils. A number of other projects go before the council for public input. The assembly schedule is always so packed that they recognized early on they needed a way for people at the most local level to hear about a project, to ask the people that are doing the project the details of it, get feedback, and then move on to the next level.
So it's more of a conduit for information to be
absolutely.
Ideally, we are doing nothing more than communicating factually to as broad an audience as possible.
And where do you get where does the feedback go?
The feedback would go to the operational department. If it's a capital project, it would go to project management engineering. If it's a planning and zoning case, it would go to planning staff. If it's an issue of public involvement that maybe the mayor's office is trying to get feedback on, we would work with the mayor's staff on collecting input. But again, we are apolitical, and we're not working for any particular agenda.
So you don't gather petitions, that kind of thing, support a candidate, become red or blue, anything
we,
like that.
We should not be supporting those, no.
I was going to ask one more question from you, Jason. What is the difference between the Federation of Community Councils and a community council itself?
A community council, again, is something that was set up in reference from the Anchorage Charter. The Federation of Community Councils is an actual 501c3 nonprofit organization that has a mission to improve communication with and among the councils, to report to the city and to the councils the different activities that are going on, assist them in distributing information to their members, to manage grants on behalf of the individual community councils. The community councils themselves are not legal entities. The IRS doesn't recognize Basher or Ocean View as a legal enterprise. So if somebody wants to donate money to them, they can donate it, but it's not going to have a tax benefit. It's not really going to be handled the way that they would ideally like to see it. As the conduit, somebody can donate money to us, and we can pass it on at no cost to the council for their benefit. We can receive grants from the state or federal government and manage those on behalf of the council. We do it for district planning, like in the Chugiak Eagle River area. They're doing a district plan. Hillside is doing a district plan. The west side is doing one. Several councils have community patrols, and we manage grants on their behalf to help them pay for radio time and gasoline for volunteers.
Wow. So what kind of participation do you get? I have to say I went to the last couple of meetings at my area of community council, and I was pretty impressed at how many people were there. And it was those gorgeous nights in June and May, those beautiful nights. And people were there. There was quite a huge turnout. And the issues were not huge. I mean, the issues were planning the street party and that kind of thing. So people were really involved.
It does depend on the level of interest and what the issues are. You can have a quiet meeting with 10 to 12 people. You can have a meeting, depending on the size of your council area, that's packed, 100 or more. And there have been meetings that are packed to the gills, standing room only. It depends on what the issue is.
Could you, Shelley, could you give me a couple of a typical, you said you've been involved in your community community council for about 5 years now. Right. Are there instances in your mind where issues were hot-button issues were resolved through community council work? Do you have any anecdotes along those lines?
I'm fortunate that my council area is relatively mild and we don't have any huge pressing issues, but some of the things we've dealt with involve things like Parks and Rec. Our community council sits within David Green Park, is within our council area, and it's a great park. It's a neighborhood park for the community, and it's widely used. And some of the neighbors came to meetings, and they had extreme concerns about the usage of the park, about the litter, about people bringing alcohol to the parks, about the late hours and the amount of noise. Nobody wants to deny anybody access to the park, but they are concerned, of course, when a stereo is running till 10 or 11 at full volume, or when the parking is so crowded that it's unsafe for children to get to and from the park across the street. That was one of the concerns we brought up, and Terry Peters, who works with Parks and Rec, came out to a meeting, on her own time in the evening to hear our concerns, and based on what we had to say, made some adjustments in how Parks and Rec handled the renting of the facilities. And that was an accommodation that made a huge difference to the neighborhood.
Good. So that the voice of the residents of each individual neighborhood can actually be heard and funnel up to City Hall when you start your community council.
Absolutely. I think sometimes people are reluctant to get involved because they don't think it's going to make a difference. But I found that we're very fortunate in how responsive different areas of the city are. You know, Jim Lamson has come out to meet with us. You know, Terry Peters, Parks and Rec, has come out to meet with us. The fire department in our neighborhood makes a point of getting with us periodically to say, hey, here's the season, here's the concerns. These are things that you and your neighbors should be doing to protect yourselves and protect your homes. The police department, if you make that phone call, if you work through the community councils, they're happy to try to boost patrols within their ability, of course, and staffing, to come through the neighborhoods and to try to alleviate some of the problems that you have. It's just a matter of knowing who to call, and that's one of the functions of community councils.
So it's sort of a the councils themselves are sort of a grassroots group of people who make their concerns known. They don't have true political clout. They're not elected. They don't get paid. Certainly, they're volunteers, but they serve the immensely important function of gathering information and coordinating it. And then the Federation of Community Councils sort of coordinates the community councils and, you know, does services for all the councils. Is that right? Is that
how? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, what's a typical council volunteer? Is there a profile out there? Or is
I'd hate to profile and make anybody think that they wouldn't fit into the great scheme of things. Basically, all it takes to get involved is the desire to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's sometimes intimidating or overwhelming when you walk into a room and everybody's talking about whatever the issue is, and you may not have a clue. You just jump in with both feet and you ask a lot of questions and you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if necessary, you stay after and ask some more questions, or you fire off an email to the appropriate person. We don't always have the answers, but we will try to get the answers, and we will try to communicate and get back to you so that your voice can be heard and so that you can feel welcome to provide your input and direction.
And you find out who your neighbors are, other than that person on the right and the left of your house.
Absolutely.
And the person across the street.
Absolutely.
I think many of us only know that many people in our own neighborhood. Some people don't even know that. So I have a whole list of questions here, but I'll give you each of you, Jason or Shelley, a little space here to bring up what's on your mind. Is there a topic now that the Tudor area or council is looking at, or the Federation is looking at, that is generating a lot of activity, a lot of interest right now?
I'll take that one.
He's jumping at the mic there.
One of the things that I've tried to do, I've been the chair of the Federation now for the last 2 years. It's election night tonight at our FCC meeting. But one of the goals I had was to improve communication and to offer more training opportunities. And one of the experiences that a number of us have had that participate with the FCC is with a group called NUSA, Neighborhoods USA.
Mm-hmm.
They're an organization that about 15 years ago actually held their national conference here in Anchorage. The Mountain View Community Council was very active and involved and lured them up here to Anchorage for their national conference. And they had a pretty good time, and it began a long relationship with NUSA, where one or more members of the Federation or the local councils have been going to their annual conventions for years. The last couple of years, I've been going as a delegate representing Anchorage. And we've found that they have a lot to offer. There are a lot of people in a lot of parts of the country that have very similar problems as us here in Anchorage. Our community council form is relatively unique, so we've used the opportunity to meet with these people to explain how we address problems. And most don't have the ability, like a community council. They have to go right to their assembly or their city council, and it's frustrating for them. So to bring this educational opportunity even closer for a lot of people, and the training that they afford at every convention, we put in a bid to bring their conference back to Anchorage. And in 2011, they will be bringing the NUSA conference back up here to Anchorage.
Oh, great.
So one of the things that we're going to be encouraging people to get involved in at tonight's meeting, mm-hmm. and for the next 18 months or so is the opportunity to work in organizing that convention raising money for it, getting community volunteers together to highlight their neighborhoods, their projects, and the lessons that they've learned as community activists, so they can pass them on to people from Mobile, from New York, from Florida, from California, from all
across
over
the
nation.
Country. We had people from Canada at this last conference.
Yes.
And the more people, the more input, the broader the range of ideas. People come up with amazing stuff
when
given a challenge.
They do. And the organizations that don't have a budget, like community councils, are the most resourceful. They make use of their human assets because they don't often have the money to do things that corporations might be able to do. Or they have that much more incentive to go out and get large corporate donors to assist them in projects that will help their community.
Right, and human assets are often underrated and shouldn't be because that's how you get the work done. I was going to ask you, Jason, though, can anyone go to a Federation of Community Councils meetings? Are they open to the public?
Yes, they are.
And where would that meeting tonight be?
The new office for the Federation, we've just moved to Midtown here. It's 1057 West Fireweed. Used to be the United Way building. Prior to that, we used to be in Mountain View for several years, but now we're right in Midtown off of Fireweed, and our meetings are the third Wednesday of every month from 6 to 8. We occasionally have students come in as an opportunity to do some public service. We often get members of city government and various departments. Not a lot of public participation, but mostly it's because it is a board meeting, more so than a community council meeting, which is much more neighbors getting together to address their issues.
Now, do you have a web presence? Is there...
Absolutely.
Each council has its own site?
Right.
Shelley, tell us.
Well, the Federation has a website, and you can locate that at www.communitycouncils.org. And that website has a wealth of information, including the individual councils' websites and links. You can find out where your neighborhood falls to find out who your community council area would be, has contact information for each of your council delegates, and tells you when their meetings are and where.
Wow.
There's council maps, so that if you don't know for sure, you can look at the map. There are many ways to actually get to the website.
Right.
An alternate way, instead of going right to the communitycouncils.org, is the new Muni website, which is just www.muni.org.
Yeah. Or kska.org. I have to put that one in. We have links. KSKA's website has links to all of the above, so we don't people don't always remember when you tell them the website. But
right.
kska.org, they can remember.
The thing that's worth looking at is the municipality, through about a two-year-long effort with the community councils, has undertaken a complete redo of their website. The municipality was one of the first in the nation to really put up a community-oriented website, but many years went by and it didn't age very well. So they approached us about 2 years ago and did a project where they surveyed all of the people around the city. They surveyed us as some of the most involved people and looked for recommendations on how to better provide feedback. And we've worked both with the city departments and their consultants to improve the look and feel of this website.
It's nice. I use it all the time.
You've done a wonderful job revamping it.
Hold on one second. This is probably a great time to remind our listeners that this is a call-in program. And if you have a question or a comment about Anchorage's community councils, call 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or outside the Anchorage area, 1-888-353-5752. That's 1-888-353-5752. Or email us at communityforum@kska.org. I wanted you to hold that thought. Involvement. Involvement is the key word here. How does one get involved? You know, most of us see, you know, we all have these opinions about what's going on in the neighborhood, and we complain to our spouses or we complain to the neighbor across the fence. But when it comes to doing anything, people generally sort of hang back, not because they're not willing, because they really don't know how to get involved.
Well, you asked Shelley kind of for the profile of the average council person earlier, and I'd agree with most of what she said. The one thing she didn't say, and I suppose I'll just be blunt about it, most community council people got involved because they got ticked off about something. Mm-hmm. It was the neighbor that put up a fence or took down a fence. It was the dog that was always running loose. It was the development next door. It was the road project that never happened. It was the bond issue that promised one item and never seemed to develop. So people got worked up. They went and complained. Many will instinctively go to an assembly meeting and often kind of get thumped a bit because they don't understand you need to sign up to testify. Mm-hmm. And you may testify sometime between 5 and 10. You don't even get a number like you do at DMV. So they get frustrated and they kind of give up. Other people, the noisy stereo or the skateboarders or whatever the problem, are a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more ticked off and do some research. They talk to a neighbor, an acquaintance. They talk to a business person. And they eventually get funneled into a community council.
Right. That's how I got into it. I was having issues with the home that I bought in the neighborhood, and I had concerns about water issues and drainage, and I didn't know where to begin. So I picked up the phone and I called my assembly member, Dan Coffey, and Dan said, well, start by working through the community councils. And I said, who, what, when, where? He pointed me in the right direction. I went to a meeting, and I guess the rest, as they say, is history.
Now here you are, president.
Here I am.
Which is a whole other story. How about... the councils handle a broad scope of issues, whatever issues people tend to bring up, and there's
right.
probably as many issues as there are people. And what's the resolution? You said you can take information, pass it on to the proper city agency for resolution.
Well, I could give you an example, one of them from my neighborhood. Several years ago, we were lucky enough to have the Spinard Recreation Center built just off 48 and Northwood. Wonderful facility, built back in the mid-80s and in an industrial area right next to an old neighborhood. It was a big change for the neighborhood, and they came in and set up a series of rules on how they'd operate. And for a long time, they actually allowed alcohol to be served when somebody would rent the facility. Well, as time went on, some of the parties got out of hand. The area developed more industrially, but also had more schools and ball fields in the area. It became quite a magnet for activity. Well, the neighbors of the Spinard Rec Center came to the community council and expressed their concerns over this policy of allowing alcohol to be served. When alcohol was served at parties, they tended to last longer. They tended to go beyond the noise ordinance level at 10 o'clock when things are supposed to get quieter. So by bringing those concerns to the community council and putting together a resolution, we notified Parks and Rec about that problem. Parks and Rec changed the rules, and they no longer allow alcohol at the rec center when they rent it out. The neighbors also became more involved in a lot of the other activities that are going on around that rec center. Fairview has a rec center, Mountain View has a rec center, and each of those community councils either meets there or is very active in how it's managed.
Mm-hmm. But the councils themselves, they're not like strong-arm councils. They don't have jurisdiction, do they?
They are purely advisory.
Okay. So, you were mentioning that we could all use some more volunteers. So how do you get the information out to people that would not know that these councils even exist? Because, as we were saying, the system started in the middle 70s, and Anchorage is, I don't know how much, doubled or tripled since then. A lot of newcomers in town, and they don't really know how to get involved in their neighborhoods.
Well, in rough numbers, I think it was one of the planning department people told me, in the last 20 years, the population has probably turned over, but half of the people that are in Anchorage right now probably weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not be aware that the Rogers Park Community Council meets the second Wednesday of every month. But going to our website will give anybody that's interested all the information they need. They can track down which council they're in, who the officers are, when the annual elections are, what the agendas are. That's a coordinated effort between the council and the federation. We try to get their newsletters out through a combination of what we call snail mail, which is bulk mail that we send out to the list of people who for the last 12 months have participated in a community council. They get on the mailing list, and they'll get a hard copy agenda or an email that says what the agenda is, the minutes from the last meeting, and other business that's going on.
Right. Good. We try to also publish when meetings are in the paper. So when you're looking for activities, it might say, Tudor Area Community Council meets tonight from 7 to 9 at such and such location.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I first moved up to Anchorage from Cordova, one of my jobs, one of my many, was writing community council news for this very small shopper's kind of guide newspaper that is still in circulation. And I thought, wow, these are really cool. And they were pretty organized. You know, I had a contact with each one, and they would tell me everything they were doing. But, you know, because they're always there, and, you know, in my own life, you know, tended to move on and not get too involved in them. And I think a lot of people are like me, has that same viewpoint. Somebody else will do it, right?
Right.
What is the position you find yourself in when you have this little group of people who are dedicated and do care about the neighborhood and they want to do something? And you get negative feedback sometimes for what the community councils are doing? Are there factions within the community councils that duke it out over over park benches and that kind of thing?
Some community councils are very much focused on things like parks and rec issues. They've gotten involved in order to preserve a park or to keep the trail open or to make a schoolyard safer. Some people have been involved because they were the victim of a crime or an accident and want to see it be safer for everyone. They want speed limits lowered in their neighborhoods. They want a stop sign. They want a stoplight. They want a public facility as an alternative to maybe unhealthier activities that their neighbors or kids may be involved in. There's a broad range of things that bring people to councils, and sometimes those interests do conflict. Oftentimes, businesses think of community councils as relatively negative because neighbors, especially in large residential areas, tend to like to preserve that. Some areas, the older parts of town that have mixed uses, tend to have a little bit better relationship with businesses, but it's always a little bit of friction. And we'd like to do whatever we can to improve that forum, that opportunity for people to better understand what their issues are and mm-hmm. communicate those.
I would like a speed bump in my neighborhood so now I know where to go, because
it is about facilitating communication. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. You know, my particular neighborhood, McGinnis, is a major street that runs through it,
mm-hmm.
and the fire department uses that for access in and out. So there's the difficulty in wanting to slow traffic down coming through the neighborhood, but making sure it's not so cumbersome that the fire trucks can get through there in a timely manner. How do you balance that? A lot of it's communication. A lot of it's communication. When we talk about things like, we want to stoplight at this intersection because it's dangerous to get out and we're driving this direction, those are things where you work with the city or you work with the state, and they come out and they explain to you, these are the warrants that are needed. There's 9 particular things that have to fall into place in order for you to get the light at this intersection.
Hmm.
And then once people are maybe educated and understand the process, there's a better understanding of how to make things move along.
Right, so you could maybe get the core group of volunteers to, you know, get the information and present it to the public officials, and the appropriate public officials, but then you would have to maybe get your information out to the rest of the neighborhood, too. And you say you do that through newsletters and emails.
I think Jason would agree. We have a lot of success when people have questions or they want to understand the process. I found, especially in my area, we're really successful at getting the information. If we ask somebody from the municipality to come out and talk to us about what does it take to get a stoplight here, or how do we change this, how do we change that? You know, at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, I'm sure they'd rather be home with their families, but they take the time to come out and sit and explain the process to us. And sometimes they're not very well received. And sometimes you have to remind people, you know, they're here as a benefit to you, as a courtesy to you, and to help educate you. Give them that respect and courtesy. The information is there. You have to be willing to come and listen and have an open mind as to how you're going to be received.
Well, there are certain things that we really are critical in the process, like the CIP list that the municipality annually puts together.
You might want to explain that for people who don't understand.
CIP is the Capital Improvement Project list.
Yes, sir.
Generally, it's roads, but it can also include parks and rec facilities, public buildings, and other structures like schools.
Okay.
Every year, the planning department and the Office of Management and Budget come to us with a tentative list and ask for our input in prioritizing the projects.
Oh. Now, so, that's something I need to know.
So the community councils will look at those,
yeah.
Usually have a series of meetings, and submit a list back. And that's one of the ways that people can actually see their input turned into something.
Turned into reality,
yes.
Yeah.
If you want your road improved and it's not on a list, communicate that through your council to the planning people so that they can define a project.
Okay. Let's take a short break. I need to remind my listeners that this is a call-in program. Call 550-8433, 550-8433, or outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, or email us at communityforum@ksk. You're listening to Community Forum. Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today we are talking about the role of community councils and the Federation of Community Councils in Anchorage. My guests are Shelley Dodson, president of the Tudor Area Community Council, and Jason Bergerson, not Bergerson, Bergerson, who is the chair of the Federation of Community Councils. And we were talking pretty much before the break about some of the typical things the volunteers at community councils do, because they are all volunteer positions, not elected. And we were talking about maybe upgrading the visibility of the community councils, because as Anchorage grows and the population grows, so do the many, many, many issues facing our residents. And just watching my own neighborhood change over 15 years from near slum to very desirable, which is a little scary. And, you know, just seeing people come and go and the different watching kids grow up and the different needs of kids and the different needs of the residents on the street and how the houses have gone up or down in value, mostly up. And these are small things, but these are the things we live with every day, and these are the things that make a neighborhood, you know? So what are some ideas we have about maybe getting more participation in community councils? How do you reach people and grab them by the ears and say, look, if you want to make changes, this is how you do it?
Well, one of the most important things facing us at the Federation is how to best utilize the limited amount of money that we have available. We have a grant from the city that was recently cut for this current year, and one of our challenges is to bring more money in or do more with less money. One of the most expensive things that we do is mailing hard copy newsletters out to members of various community councils. So our challenge is, how can we better penetrate that market? How can we get more news out to more people? And our hope is, through the course of this next year, to come up with ways to reduce that direct mail effort and make better use of broad media opportunities like your radio
like
show, like the community calendar or the events list in the ADN. I used to love reading the Pulse and being able to keep up on the West Side councils that way. We need to make better use of broad types of media and do less directed mailings, because it's just frankly too expensive for what we get out of it. We want to offer more training opportunities. We've been trying to undertake for a year or so a rewrite of a product that came out of the community councils about 20 years ago called the Anchorage Handbook, which is a single volume that explains everything about city government.
Okay.
How to write an ordinance, how to get a park, how to fix a streetlight, how to approach your elected officials and better understand what they do, and city officials.
Okay.
Speed bumps and all the kinds
signs,
of things that people
signs.
Would like to improve safety. How to work with the police department. One of the things we're doing in Spinard right now is a project called Sarah with the CAP team. The CAP team has worked in Mountain View and Fairview and now in Spinard. And one
Sarah
of those.
The explanation, so they know what the CAP team is.
Okay, we're going to just take a minute and go to the phones. Terry, you're on air.
Hi there. I'm just wondering if the Federation of Community Councils has any abilities to work with Valley Community Councilors. All of this pretty much just in Anchorage.
The FCC is the board of just the Anchorage Community Councils. We'd be happy to work with you and share our experiences if there's anything that you're particularly interested in.
And the Neighborhood USA, will that address something out of the Anchorage area? Or
absolutely.
Is that pretty much for Anchorage too?
Absolutely.
Yes, it's we're bringing them not just to Anchorage. When we made our pitch for this conference, we wanted them to come and experience Alaska. So we'll be making outreach efforts to Fairbanks, Juneau, the Matsu Valley, the Kenai, all over the state to get people to come and participate in this training opportunity.
And the valley's close, so we'll definitely include them.
Great to know. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Let's go to line three, please. Becky, you're on air.
I'm trying to figure out which community council area I'm in. I think I'm in Abbott Loop, but I looked at the map, and the lines are so blurry.
Well, if you want to know for sure, you can get a hold of our office manager, and he'll be happy to walk you through it and find out exactly where you are and find out what council you belong to and tell you when they meet.
How do I get a hold of him?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and give Mark Butler a call? He's our office manager. His number, tell me when you're ready.
277-1977. 1977.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Your maps could be a little bit clearer.
They are a bit hard to read on the web.
We'll make sure that gets
communicated and upgraded.
That's what we do best here. We give information. Thanks,
okay.
Becky. Thanks for calling. Boy, I'm losing my train of thought, but right before the calls, we were talking about making the community councils a little more visible. You said you'd like to get away from that expensive mailings, expensive mailings, but certainly with the internet, with Twitter, with whatever we have now, I mean, pretty soon it will be telepathy. can't you get around those mailings?
That's our goal, is to replace the snail mail with electronic mail wherever possible. We just started instituting a program using a service called Constant Contact. Which allows people to manage their participation in these electronic news lists themselves. It's much less labor-intensive. Right now, when we get a list from a community council that they had 45 people show up, and some number of them want to be on an email list, we manually have to put them on a list. We enter their addresses in Microsoft Outlook, and they become part of a list for, say, Spinard or for the Tudor area.
Right.
If they want to be put on a second council's email list, then we manually put that contact into another list. With Constant Contact, you have the ability to actually, yourself, on the web, choose to sign up for or unsubscribe to any of the lists. We pay a small service fee to manage these lists, but once they're set up to begin with, then they become very easy and very low cost to maintain. So that's kind of our first and measurable shift from really a focus on just snail mail to more electronic media.
I sort of miss those newsletters.
You know, we can't completely get away from mailing things out in bulk, unfortunately. There are always people in the community who maybe don't have access to the internet or a computer. They're not comfortable with machines. There are some people in the elderly community who just don't have that ability or desire to learn it, and that's always going to happen. So we try to limit it as much as possible and ask people, if you have the ability to receive it via email, please do so.
And some businesses have been very helpful in posting newsletters for their community council. Some areas are maybe just more attuned than others. But hopefully we'll see more assistance from the business community with the use of bulletin boards for a way of reminding people about the council newsletters, their calendar. Hopefully we'll also get some more help from the city through the use of its municipal channel, and work with the ADN and any other print media to get as much free advertising as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So you'd like to get more people more involved, because there are more and more issues, because we have a greater and greater population, and more complex issues, I think, than back in the 70s, although I do remember the Bike Trails for Anchorage Now fight. That was pretty amazing, and that worked out really well. What was I going to ask? How about my brain just fell out. How about expanding the role of the community council? I mean, you pretty much all stick to your niche, your little area of Anchorage. Are those areas, first of all, are they ever reapportioned? Does that ever happen?
Not without assembly approval.
Okay.
It can be done. It has happened in the past. You know, sometimes councils talk about merging or splitting up if their needs are so different, or the area and the boundary is so large that their needs cannot be served by one council.
Mm.
But we don't get to make a lot of arbitrary decisions like that on our own.
Do you, like, sometimes two different councils that have a borderline take opposite sides of an issue?
Sometimes that has happened. It can complicate a road project that goes across town if you don't have broad support. And sometimes individual councils have raised concerns. It may not be a road project, but it may be a school, or it may be some other trail project. And, at some point, hopefully we bring people together and help come up with a solution. Sometimes it's beyond us, mm-hmm. because councils are just advisory, just another way for people to voice their opinion. You have to want to listen to it.
Well, you have to listen to it, and it's probably makes more of an impression than, say, a letter to the editor in the newspaper. You know, where you vent your frustration in one letter, but that's it. But you know, with the councils, you could actually make improvements and find a plan for improvements. Although, do you feel people just maybe complain rather than look for solutions?
I think sometimes people wait too long to voice a concern, and by the time they bring it to light, they're mm-hmm. really, really frustrated, and sometimes that comes across poorly. One of the things that we try to work through with the Federation and through the community councils is to help people learn how to couch their concerns and be heard in a way that you're going to be listened to. If you get on there and you start ranting and raving, people tend to tune you out. So it's knowing how to appeal to people's good sense.
Right. It's knowing how to present your concerns in a way that is not offensive to right. your listeners. Once again, speaking of listeners, you can call in at 550-8433, 550-8433, if you have a question or a comment to make about our community councils or outside of the Anchorage area, 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, or send us an email at communityforum@kska.org. Also, you can check out KSKA's website. That's www.kska.org, and get links to all of the community council information that you are hearing here on Community Forum. One more. We are rebroadcast tonight at 10, but we are taped at that time, so at 10 o'clock you may listen, but do not call in. So let's get back to, we don't have that much time left, so let's, what are some of the burning concerns we haven't talked about yet on, in your mind? I mean, I have to say, I've been thinking a lot. I get on a lot of boards, do a lot of volunteer work for my church. But lately, I've been sort of looking at my community council and thinking, you know, that's really where I should put my energy. Not that I'm going to ditch my church or my right. my boards or anything, but you know, that's where you can really get into, you know, the things that, and let's face it, it's our backyard is what's important to us, and maybe my little piece of that backyard is the only thing I really can, you know, have total control over. And even then you can't. But, you know, I think the community councils would be a great way to make some of the changes people talk about in Anchorage. You know, more recreation, more parks, more safety. You know, there's right across the street from me, there's this huge apartment complex, and these little kids play in the street. There's no place for them to go, and I think that's so sad. And you were mentioning earlier, Shelley, how to get a park started, you know? Somebody has to get a park started, or you know, somebody has to at least put one of those crosswalks up over the busy intersection, you know, one of those elevated things so that kids, you know, don't have that danger.
Well, one of the things that I think we've found over the years is what gets people involved is concerns about themselves or their safety. And it really is a major area where people really can contribute back to the general safety of their neighborhood. You can get involved by sponsoring a road, by doing a neighborhood watch program. You can get involved in your school. You can get involved with the ride-along program or the Citizens Academy with APD, different what we call kind of the Renaissance areas of Anchorage. Some of the older communities like Spinard and Fairview and Mountain View have worked very closely with the CAP team. It's the community policing team and Lieutenant Gillum and his team. And they've helped address safety issues in each of these older neighborhoods that have a lot of mixed-use property and problems that maybe aren't common to, say, a Hillside or a Basher or mm-hmm. or an Ocean View, Bayshore, Clatt, those neighborhoods. And the project that we're doing in Spinard right now is bringing out a lot of opportunity to train people on how to better communicate with public safety officers, the 911 operator, if there's a problem. A lot of people are just uncomfortable knowing what to say. You hear gunshots in your neighborhood, what do you do? If you see an accident, what do you do? So as part of the CAP project in Spinard, we're putting together training materials just to train our residents, train our business owners, the operators and managers at the hotels along Spinard Road, people that are bartenders and people that are pedestrians, you know, that use the bus service in the corridor. How do you react to different situations? So we're putting together simple training material so that people can best communicate what the problem is And that's something that's happening through the councils.
Could you give me just a little more information on CAP is Community Action Patrol, and you said in Spinard, is there a specific date or place where people could go?
It's an ongoing program right now. The CAP team had been in Fairview the last year or so dealing with issues that were of concern to that council. The Spinard Council raised some concerns over a few establishments and some after-hours activity that then led the police department to look more broadly at the activities in all of Spinard, which areas are finding a lot of police calls, where do gang activities occur, where do complaints come from, to see if there's a pattern, if there are issues that can be addressed by a concerted effort of increased patrols and kind of increased enforcement. And it's been helpful so far, but it's an ongoing effort.
Mm-hmm. So anyone could take advantage of that no matter what area of town you lived in. Perfect. You know, the other night, I went out quite late to return some movies before midnight because I didn't want to pay the fee. And I was really surprised at how much activity was going on in a neighborhood street. A lot of teenagers out. And I thought, didn't this town have a curfew at one time, or did that go away? I was really surprised because I rarely go out at midnight, but there was all these kids out there on bicycles and stuff running around. I thought, whoa.
As a parent, I have to say the curfew law starts being enforced at home.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I remember doing stories on it years ago, but I've lost track of it. So, I mean, and you know, crime is always there. It's not that far away from your borders. I mean, I live, my particular home is in a residential area that's really only one block away from a very heavily traveled commercial area. And so there's a, you know, there's cheek by jowl, so to speak.
Have you looked at the My Neighborhood website, Ellen, and pulled up where you live and seen the crime and how it breaks out and how it shows you the different reports and the cases and what's happened in your neighborhood? It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, well, somebody stole my snow tires the other day right out of my yard.
You can add it to the website.
Well, I don't want to go be negative. So so we need to, I guess the bottom line is we need to enhance the presence of the community council so that more people do make their voice heard. It's not a substitute for the city assembly, and they're not elected officials, but they sure do get a lot of grassroots work done. They get the project off the ground. And I guess someone somewhere told me that maybe 5% in any organization, in any body of people, it's maybe 5% of the people do like 95% of the work. Would you agree, or do you get a...
As the 5%, I would say probably yes. But that's not to say that the other 95% are doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're listening. I'm surprised sometimes by a meeting's attendance turnout, how low it might be. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that people aren't getting the newsletter. They're not listening. They're not reading it. They are. And if they're content, sometimes they're just content to not be involved unless something comes that's a concern to them. Mm-hmm. So if you're not already listening, now would be the time to get on the email list, to maybe come and sit at a meeting, even if you don't feel the need to participate or speak, to come and listen and understand the process. And then when you get brave, you can ask the questions.
Right. How about you, Jason? Any thoughts on
that? Well, I would agree with Shelley that there is a very quiet majority out there that until they're unhappy with the feedback of that small group, until they really don't represent what's happening, they don't get involved. I mean, as long as the small group is out there and cleaning up the park and making sure that a speed bump goes in and the other issues that generally benefit the community, they're quiet. If something changes, then we tend to hear from a few and we get a new crowd that's involved and hopefully sticks around.
Do you have long-termers that deal with every issue? Or do you have, like you were saying, new issues, new people, new faces?
A mix of both. I think it's a safe mix of both.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been there 5 years in yours. So.
I have. So. I have.
There are people that have been involved in the councils since they were first formed that are still active today. And hopefully we'll have people starting tonight and tomorrow night with some of our community councils that are getting together again for the first time since the summer break that will be new to involvement and continue for some time.
Mm-hmm. What? We have an email. Oh, here we go. Title 21. Oh, where did it go? It just disappeared. Send it again. I'm having an email breakdown here. Somebody was asking about Title 21, and I just lost that email. Oh, it goes to the forwarded. Boy, this is dead air here. Well, we'll have to get back to that later. So we have only a couple of minutes left, and I was wondering if either of you would like to share some final thoughts, what's on your mind, and what your community council might be dealing with at its very first fall meeting.
Well, I know in Spinard we're going to try and continue some of the efforts that that our president, Matt Burkholter, has begun this last year, continuing to work with the businesses on a solution to the Spinard Road project to encourage more businesses to come into our little Renaissance area. Spinard has become vibrant, and it's all because of small businesses that have come in and taken a chance on our little corner of the city. We'll continue to bring new opportunities in. We're really hoping that we'll see a farmer's market in Spinard again someday. We had one a couple weeks back, or a couple months back, behind Lamex, and hopefully we'll see a permanent one next year if we can get the arrangements going. I know other councils are...
Tudor is going to start focusing more strongly on community outreach. Again, we're a small little neighborhood, but there's a lot of us, and there's a lot of voices to be heard, a lot of concerns to be shared. So we're going to start working really hard on community outreach and encouraging people to come and hope that they're not overwhelmed.
Okay, and I got my email back. I'm challenged with these things. But Diane Holmes writes that one item people don't get involved with until it is too late is the code revision, the land use code revision, Title 21. Not a sexy issue, but it means everything to how our city will look in the near future. Its purpose is to implement the general but wonderfully citizen-driven goals of our comprehensive plan. So that's work going on, and that is something people can find out a whole lot more about at their community council meeting. Okay, you are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. If you have any questions or concerns or would like more information about your community councils, just check out kska.org. It's our website, has links to the community councils, the Federation of Community Councils, and the municipal website. And once again, I'm Ellen Lockyer. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks our guest, Jason Burgesson and Shelley Dodson.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@kska.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.